AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew. Brianne filling in for Sam. She'll be back on Monday. What just happened, by the way? I got to call it out. What just happened to studio is actually really funny. Because Devin Foley joins us. Intellectual takeout. Good morning, sir.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for being here.
So, there's...
You're welcome.
There's been these...
This is awesome.
You're welcome for showing up to our job.
There's been these... There's two of them. There's the one that's now in your hands, and there's another one. There's these black notebooks.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is that one was left here, and so... We saw it in studio, and things get left in studio all the time. We're like, okay, well, this has obviously got to be important to somebody, right? And so we set it off to the side, kind of where, you know, the lost and found in the studio goes. But then this other one popped up, right? So I didn't talk to Drew about this, but Drew, I was under the assumption, it's like, is there one person leaving these and then forgetting they're there and then going and buying another one and filling it out?
We talked about the pile of little black books right. that have been showing up in and just sort of accumulating.
We're chatting with Devin. We're about ready to go on the air. He goes, well, hey, is that mine?
Sure enough.
You solved a mystery.
I've been looking for it forever, and I wish you had video because, I mean, the giant name
on
the
tells
inside,
you how much like, investigative I mean, work that we did.
Yeah, I just saw the book. Was, oh, somebody left that there. Yeah, never opened it.
The secret battle plans of intellectual takeout would have been lost. That's all.
Could have blackmailed you with that. Or
it was really, really funny. So I'm sorry on the tangent
all
there.
Of Devin's secrets.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been troubling
page three,
me, okay?
Really?
I've been sitting there.
And
like,
there's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, I don't know.
There's that monologue on page 3 about how much you hate Justice and Drew, which I got a little bit of a problem with. We'll talk about that off the air.
Dear Diary.
Today I went on Justice and Drew.
I had such high expectations and left sad. All right, out of the... Sorry. Wow. Wheels off the show. Out of the Star Tribune, and this is from a number of days ago. In D.C., efforts to champion alternatives to four-year degrees slow to gain traction. Traditional college degrees don't always fit with the job market, but efforts to champion alternatives face skepticism. And this has been a topic that Drew and I both really, really enjoy because there is this idea of... The four-year degrees, two-year degrees, how does it match up with the current job market? How much time are kids wasting in school?
How much money.
Yeah, the money wasted. What happened to, you know, the trade schools? And so when you see a story like this, it really ends up piquing our interest. And certainly wanted to bring you in with your expertise on schools to get some of your thoughts on it.
Well, it's actually a good thing, because my notes on apprenticeships were actually in the black folder.
Oh, we could have just read that.
Exactly.
You could have just read that.
You would have been fine.
Well, they talk about in here, the 2016-2017 Burnsville High School launched a radically redesigned curriculum to try to plug Minnesota's job skills gap. The suburban school of the Twin Cities now funnels students into career pathways instead of a generic academic regime. A regimen. Burnsville has become a national model for states like Minnesota that face a disconnect between the available employment and the training needed to fill them. Yet, as well-paying jobs in manufacturing and trades go begging, the American dream of a Bachelor of Arts in Sciences dies so hard that politicians and public officials find themselves in a culture war as they push workforce legislation and policies.
How did we get to this point where, and it's happened over several generations now, where just that expectation is for every kid, you know, you go to high school, you graduate high school, and you get your four-year degree. And it doesn't even seem to matter what that four-year degree is in, just that mindset of this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, there are a couple issues with this. One is, if you go back to John Dewey and others, their progressive view of education was to basically centralize all training, all readiness for adulthood, all of this in the education system. And of course, that creeps into the college system as well, which is one of the cautions, I would say, actually, when you talk about jobs, training programs, and things like that, because what you'll see is, there is a lot of talk about it, but what schools want to do is concentrate job training on their campus,
mm-hmm.
as if these teachers really know more about the jobs world than the people running the business out there who could you could do an apprenticeship with or something like that. And again, so it's just creeped over time. If you take sort of a technocratic mindset where this government program, education, needs to make sure everything runs through us because we're the ones who need to shape the future economy. We're the sort of...
Yeah.
Better knowing, that's how you get this sort of setup.
A little like indoctrination.
Yeah, I don't know. That's been a hot topic lately, I hear, for a few school districts. Right.
So. Was there a time in the not-so-distant past, or maybe distant past, when the curriculum or when the curriculum was more centered around the region, and it was more tailored for the region? I mean, it sounds like, you know, the macro versus the micro, where you have, you know, the sort of the federal government overreach versus states' rights. Was there a time not so long ago where you would have, you know, colleges that were more centrally focused on the jobs in the region and the training, if they weren't going for bachelor's in sciences and arts, but they were looking at job placement, they were focused on what was available in the area? And has that gone away?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, some of it's just a result of technology so that you can fly anywhere you want to go and go to a different college. I mean, if you think about the days where the most distance you ever went was 25 miles from home, then the college 25 miles away was a pretty big deal to go to. That's how things
work. Did they tailor the curriculum for the jobs available in the area?
To a degree, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would get... How about this? The area tailored the education as well as the jobs that went with it. So if you had an area that was, I mean, this goes back to your immigration and how America developed. I mean, you've got certain parts of the country, certain cultural groups that came through, ethnicities. They believed in education tremendously. New England Yankees would be an example, and they built their schools, and that was part of their thing. They came together as families. They built their schools. They did it.
Mm-hmm. They really reflected the community. They reflected the area that they operated in.
Exactly, and it reflected the religious sentiments too. So that you would have, you know, the school not only taught this is the math, this is the science, but this is also our religious beliefs, and things went hand in hand. When government suddenly said, everybody needs to go to school and you need to go to a government school, that's when you start to see things changing, because now you lose the local flavor, because over time, it doesn't happen, here's this program and 5 years later, but rather, again, look at America, 100 years ago versus now. You see the difference where everything is centralized. You have how, and liberals, conservatives, green, right, up, down, whatever you want to call yourself, a lot of people have problems with the centralization of education in D.C. and how that affects things and drives this sort of education programs and gets rid of the local flavor.
And you see it with the kids too. I mean, kids aren't dumb. You know, kids aren't stupid. We don't give them enough credit. They see how much of their day and how much of their time is wasted learning things that they simply don't care about, that they don't value. And then I see it with my kids and their friends. When you get into that high school level, suddenly they are not valuing the time spent in school. They're not valuing their education. They don't feel like they're really getting much from it. And it creates this almost sense of, like, I don't want to say hopelessness, but it creates a sense of, what, you know, what am I doing? I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Yeah, they wonder what the point of it is, and they start to hate education,
yeah.
Which we're an innately a creature that desires to learn.
Right.
And if you've managed to destroy our innate desire to learn, that's pretty bad. And when it comes to apprenticeships and things like that, and the opportunity for kids to learn, I mean, the Swiss model is something that we should seriously consider and talk about and look at.
Let's get into that next in the article to what we're talking about. It says a 2017 survey by the trade group Enterprise Minnesota found roughly half of Minnesota manufacturers still struggle to find qualified applicants for available jobs. We'll talk more with newly reunited with his notebook from Intellectual Takeout, Devin Foley. If you want to get in on the conversation, 651-989-5855 and use that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Justice. From Intellectual Takeout, Devin Foley joins us in studio here on Justice and Drew. Brianne doing a great job filling in for Sam, who'll be back on Monday talking about the Star Tribune article. We'll get into some more details on this, but alternatives to four-year degrees slow to gain traction in the one stat here. 2017 survey by the trade group Enterprise Minnesota found roughly half Minnesota manufacturers still struggle to find qualified applicants for available jobs. And it's a topic that we talk about a lot on the show because it interests us, especially having children. Drew's kids are slightly older than mine, but I got an 11 and 15-year-old, and we were just talking off the air that, you know, I hope that they find something at a young age, you know, at least a pathway, even if it's not specific, that I can set them on to get them, you know, going as quickly as possible towards whatever career that they hope to have.
I've encouraged the same things with my kids. And it's a tough conversation to have with your kids when it was weird for me when I realized it's like I would love for my kids to go on to college, get their four-year degrees, but at the same time I don't want them to feel like pressured to if they don't have a plan or a path. So had to have that sort of awkward conversation of like, look, if college isn't for you right now, it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, why, you know, go $50,000 in debt?
Exactly.
A year. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Why do you think that these efforts from various lawmakers, and it's pretty bipartisan, they've got examples in here of initiatives that have been championed by Al Franken or Klobuchar or Jason Lewis, all trying to encourage high school graduates via different methods to consider credentialing or community and technical college programs as opposed to traditional state public universities, four-year degrees. Why do you think it's had that those efforts have had difficulty of gaining support and gaining traction? I have a hunch, but I don't know if it's accurate or not. Yeah. I think it's unions. I think there's a strong union resistance, you know, public school unions, education unions, things like that, union resistance to these types of efforts. But again, that's just sort of my cynical hunch. I don't know. I don't have anything to back that up.
Where you're seeing some of these efforts, for instance, in Colorado, the unions have figured out how to concentrate these training programs in their local public schools. That way the money stays there. If the money doesn't stay on the campus, then you're going to get a fight.
Right.
The reality is what's holding us back too is the structure of current public education. I mean, we all know. I mean, we can go on with Minneapolis Public Schools, the disaster it is. We can talk about indoctrination in Edina, but overall, what you look at is, you know, we've sort of lost the idea of what's the purpose of education. As I was talking to you guys about Switzerland, their entire economy is based upon an apprenticeship foundation and a quality education. So when you have Swiss businesses that are in manufacturing that are here in Minnesota, one's over in St. Paul, they're having a terrible time adjusting to American realities as well as training American workers, where they're seeing that, you know, your average age of an apprentice in the U.S. is 28 years old, because they're taking people who did 4 years of school or did 2 years of college, 4 years of college, and then now need to be retrained into a job market. Whereas in the Swiss model, you do a K-8 school model, local public schools, and then you apply to one of 230 or so known professions that are out there. And it might be welding, it might be engineering, it might be marketing, it might be public relations, accounting, whatever. It's not just the trades, if you will. And you apply to go to different companies to work there. The companies hire you, and then they pay you to do work for them. And so you get paid by the company to get trained.
Is there, and I'm probably kicking open a door that could probably take us to the end of the show, but like you lay that out, and my mind immediately goes to, okay, that's never going to happen in the United States because of all the politics involved and the way that education is viewed. So the question I have is, how is it, or do you know the reason why there the politics haven't seeped into that to allow that to happen?
Right.
Why, you know, because here education is so agenda driven. I mean, it is the way that we look at the, you know, the universities, the institutions, is there's so much politics involved in the way that many on the left want to see education used. But yet it seems like in the model that they're using with the Swiss, that politics is not in the mix there.
I'm sure politics is in the mix. The Swiss, having spent a little bit of time with them, they're a funny creature. They're very quiet when it comes to politics, and, okay. and the American style of arguing very loudly about politics really concerns them. They think like we're actually mad at each other. Well, sometimes I mean people are mad, but I mean. They don't know how to deal with that at all. But it's also
they get mad at John every day.
Exactly. Yeah, they wouldn't handle that at all. It's funny, but I mean the Swiss, the very nature, you know, if you look at the Swiss government and the way it's structured, it's a republic. It's one of the long lasting republics. It was considered the sister republic of the United States way back by our founding. We kind of went more of a imperial track, whereas the Swiss maintain this neutral republic. They don't have a single president. They have three individuals at the top. They have to bring agreement to it. The cantons have a lot more power. Their name for a state. They are far more powerful than our federal government is. So, I mean, if you thought, what would America look like under the Articles of Confederation? Then that would be Switzerland today, kind of. It's not clean analogies. Don't call in and be like, that's not accurate.
Talking with Devin Foley from Intellectual Takeout, before we move on any further, I want to know, do you have some time to hang out if I want to keep you a little bit longer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We want to get into the Minnesota congressional delegation, and we're talking, you know, Al Franken, Amy Klobuchar, and Jason Lewis. They've offered up multiple bills that we want to get into and sort of your thoughts on whether or not these are the right ways to go. First off, though, let's go to the phones.
Let's start with Dom in Maple Grove. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. You know, I used to teach at a university in North Carolina, but now I teach at a tech school and I'm very happy about it because I'm making a difference in people's lives and not have to worry about grading 150 papers in my class. That's how many students I have in that class. Now the maximum is about 20. So we're teaching them individually. And the challenge with technical education is that it's not sexy and glamorous, like a degree in social justice or women's studies or white guilt or whatever it is. But used to be that technical education meant that you get your hands dirty and there's nothing glamorous about it. I was at Stuttgart, Germany with a couple of my students a couple of years ago as part of an exchange program and met with a group of people that trained at Daimler-Benz. You know, a third of the time they were training in the company and two-thirds of the time they went to school. And the company, Daimler-Benz, paid for their education. And they said every single one of them is going to be absorbed as a full-time employee.
Yep, that's.
I brought that to my chamber in here. When I came back, I said, "Well, let's go talk to our chamber of commerce." You know, these guys fell out of the chair and laughed me out of the room. You know, are you serious in this privatized economy? That's not going to work at all, and that's the problem.
Well, and see, but actually, Dom, I mean, if you go to the Swiss model, it's different than the German model. It allows for far more freedom for the student as well as the companies and others, but. I would challenge folks to find, I mean, the Swiss are hardly socialist. They're very capitalistic, but they've still managed to make this model work through voluntary association and things like that. But again, you go and work at a company. I went and toured Schindler elevators. So, I mean, go into a lot of our high rises and Schindler elevators.
Okay. There.
I met the kids making those. And it's crazy. You go in, they have this huge facility. I mean, huge facility.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We'll get some more on that coming up. Talking with Intellectual Takeout, Devin Foley. We'll get into more of what Devin was just speaking about and these bills being offered by the Minnesota Congressional Delegation and your phone calls, 651-989-5855. Those on hold. Don't go anywhere. We'll get to those next on Justice and Drew.
Justice and Drew.
Join us in supporting the YMCA, kids who play sports at the Y, build character, develop self-confidence, and create healthy relationships. Help build futures by making a donation now by texting YSPORT to 41444 or visit TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
You can use that hashtag TCNT on Twitter to add your comments to our discussion, talking with Intellectual Takeout's Devin Foley, speaking about education, four-year degrees, slow to gain traction. You can also use that hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT to have us We, Justice and Drew, bring you coffee and tasty treats from Tim Hortons.
Every Thursday, we're going to be delivering to listener Rhiannon, who won this week on Twitter. Next Thursday, we will deliver another shipment of Tim Hortons to another office. So keep using that hashtag TimHortonsTCNT to enter. We will do a random drawing early next week.
Out of the Star Tribune, in Minnesota's congressional delegation, Franken, Klobuchar, Jason Lewis have each offered multiple bills to try to encourage high school graduates to consider credentialing, there we go, or community and technical college programs that lead to well-paying, stable jobs that don't require four-year degrees. Their initiatives include things like classes that give high school students college credit, partnerships between schools and employers that provide money, equipment, and apprenticeships, and federal grants to start more pathways like the one in at Burnsville that we were talking about earlier. Are these steps in the right direction? Are we looking down the right road?
I think for where we are right now, as far as comfort level, I think it's great that people are starting to talk about apprenticeships and tech and things like that. We've gotten so far away from being the, you know, the arsenal of democracy by being able to be the industrial might of the Western world. You know, people don't talk about making things anymore. Like one of the callers, Dom, said, you know, people talk about social justice and, you know, feeling bad for their whiteness. Let's get back to actually making things and being proud to do that.
Right.
And to do that, you're going to need apprenticeships and things like that. We're going to need to remake the entire education model in the U.S. And I can tell you, too, a lot of people are scared. Why you see tech college and things like that. A lot of the older folks are scared to use the word apprenticeship. It's fascinating. To maybe 50 plus or so, that has a very bad connotation to it. Those are the kids that didn't go to college. Those are the kids that, you know, oh, you're just going to be blue collar Joe and you're never going to amount to anything other than a tire changer. And that's kind of the way some of the older demographics look at this idea.
Yeah, there's been a stigma attached to like good, honest, hardworking trades.
Yep.
And it's come directly, I believe, from a large part of our education system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got teachers telling kids, well, you don't want to just, you know, be a laborer, do you? You know, you got to get a good education. You got to go to college. You got to get your four-year degree so you're not working in an auto mechanic shop or something.
Right.
Like, and there's nothing wrong with working in an auto mechanic shop.
Nope. And then the...
You need auto mechanics.
Right.
I suck at it.
Yeah. And then you get the colleges now saying, oh, you don't want to just have a four-year degree. You need a graduate degree. You need a PhD.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Keep spending money with us. It's about the money. Follow the money, people. Anytime you follow the money, you see this. But I can tell you the one thing. I mean, intellectual takeout, under 40 audiences, apprenticeship, hugely popular word.
Good, good.
There's a rebellion taking place to this point. So, sorry to interrupt.
No. I was going to interrupt you, and you prevented
me. It's all good.
That's good. When you talk about follow the money is all going back into the state universities. They want to funnel it all there, and it ties in with the story that frustrates me to no end, where you've got all these Democratic attorney generals in states suing Betsy DeVos for, how they phrase it, refusing to enforce an Obama-era rule meant to protect students from predatory career college programs. Is there any career college program more predatory than your average state university?
Well, this gets to, I mean, the hypocrisy of all of this. It's, for instance, when you see the local public schools or the teachers' unions attack some of the charter schools,
right.
And you're like, really? Because what about Minneapolis? Because if you were applying the same standard, a dozen public school districts in the metro area would be in serious trouble, and you'd want to close them if you were applying the same metric you used for justifying closing this charter school. You'd be in trouble. Same thing.
Lewis, Jason Lewis said he felt the influence of academics when he proposed to taking $70 million in federal funding increases intended for college prep programs for students whose parents never went to college and using the money instead for state grants for career and technical education to fill the job skill gap. Lewis told the Tribune that his proposal was the best way to help young Minnesotans find sustainable employment. His amendment to move the money lost in a House floor vote in September. In the state's delegation, though, Representative Tom Emmer and Democratic Representative Colin Peterson voted for Lewis's proposal. So you had Eric Paulson joined by Democrats, Betty McCollum, Keith Ellison, Tim Walz, and Rick Nolan all voted against it. Not a huge surprise there.
No. Look, again, I'm glad that there are these moves taking place. The more we start talking about tech schools as well as apprenticeships, I think the better. I do think, though, that we need to be open to a very far-reaching change in the education system. I don't think we need to be wedded to the K-12 public school model, go off to 4 years of college. I think that if we look, one of the few times I would say look to Europe, I think, you know, again, the Swiss, the Germans, others, they have ways of doing this. There are parts of the German system that are good, but it really does kind of reduce the freedom of students. It puts you on a track, whereas the Swiss system still gives freedom to students. I mean, you could go through 3 years of an apprenticeship being a welder and at 18 decide, you know what, I don't want to be a welder. I want to be a social justice warrior, and you can apply to college and go do that. Or I want to be an English teacher and do that. It also,
at the very least, you've learned a valuable skill that you'll carry with you the rest of your life.
Yeah, what was noted, too, is fascinating how many of the CEOs of major Swiss, you know, international companies, they were apprentices in farming. They were apprentices in welding. I mean, it's fascinating. When you get this change, you find that, you know, income-wise, a lot of the people that are making things, doing things, they're doing the tech jobs, all of that, they're on par with a lot of the people that are in the white-collar fields, which we're sort of seeing here in America, but nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just this sort of thing you don't want to say is the guy that went to 4 years of college is making the same amount or less than the guy who runs his own lawn maintenance company.
We covered that report from the Center of the American Experiment a few weeks ago that listed all the various careers that you can get with a 2-year technical degree that pay as much or more than 4-year degrees.
Yep.
I have a question on the Swiss model here in the U.S. We'll get to in just a moment. First off, though, let's go and talk with Dave in Santiago. Good morning, Dave. Welcome morning. To Twin Cities News Talk. You're on with Devin Foley from Intellectual Takeout.
How's it going, Dave?
Yeah, this is a great topic. Years ago, back when I was in tech school, there was reports out of the Strib about, you know, oh, well, the tech schools don't place all these students in. You know, there's only a 70%. You know, placement rate for these students out of some of these programs, and, you know, they make it sound so terrible. Let's look at the college placement rates. And on one other show, a woman was calling in, and she was just screaming, and just she was so upset because, as she said, she has a master's degree, and she found out the BMW mechanic is making more than $80,000. She found that just terrible. A lowly grease monkey is making $80,000, and she has a master's degree, and she's not getting paid anywhere near that.
Well, and, you know, Dave, that's what's going on right now is actually an aberration in American history. In American history, you go through the people who made things, created things. I don't care if it's the guys that, you know, name your inventor in the U.S., they got their hands dirty.
Right.
They often, they were farmers a lot of the times who were working in the shed, or if they were city kids, they still had a garage and they got themselves dirty. They knew how to weld. They knew how to keep things dirty. They knew how to work for a living. That's what built America, not white collar jobs.
Right.
It's just how it is. Even the guys that built Microsoft and the rest of them did these things. And we used to make things here in America. You want wealth, you have to actually make something.
And some of those things that we make now are also in the, you know, for lack of a better term, the cyber world. I mean, that's a lot of the stuff has moved to online and the ability to work with computers and design and things of that nature. When you look at where the future of jobs are going to be, you still have those labor intensive jobs, but you're also going to have those ones that are going to require just as much time sitting there at a keyboard and learning the coding and learning the skill. It is different. But it is also very, very, you know, valuable. And the things that I know how to do on a technical level when it comes to radio production editing, those are things that I'm trying to get my 15-year-old and just letting him play with it so that maybe he has a skill that he can use later on that, you know, may or may not be useful, but at least he's working through something and learning something. The question I had getting back to the Swiss model is you mentioned that here in the U.S., they were finding difficulty sort of transferring how they do it, you know, regionally to how they do it here. Is that a byproduct of the fact that the age of the people that they would like to get into apprenticeships, they just can't do that here because of the schooling that's required for average kids? Can you talk a little bit about why they can't transfer, how the process is for the Swiss there compared to how it is here?
Right. So very briefly, it was interesting as you chatting with the Swiss about their economies and things of that nature, and the Swiss are. Some of them are worried that they have too many small businesses, that, you know, that they've got this apprentice model and then boatloads of small businesses and then a few very, a few international companies. Whereas in the U.S., the ratio is different. You actually have less small businesses. And, you're talking about, okay, what's necessary to be able to take it to this level? And unfortunately, yeah, the requirement that you generally have to do 4 years in a public U.S. high school, and then, of course, this sort of cultural judgment against trades or tech or anything like that, that unless you're, you know, it's great to work at Apple if you're one of the marketers or if you're, like, pounding code. But even the code pounders, well, they're over in Asia, and that's, you know, that's all moving away. The only, you know, it's great to be at Target or this or that, but it's like, we're in the marketing department. I mean, those are like the glory people. And then, of course, some accountants and lawyers and things like that. None of that produces wealth. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing we really need to get down to is like, you need to make things, you need to build things. And furthermore, keeping kids in a public 4-year high school, how many of those kids do we all know who are burned out by that point?
Yep.
Whereas I go through, you know, a company now, granted, of course, they're going to want to make sure that it's the happiest kids and all of that. But if you look at the numbers for Switzerland, go look at their youth unemployment level. It's like 3%, 4%. And compare that to the U.S. where it's through the roof. Now, why is that? Why is that these kids are able to be able to make things, do things, start a small business, be able to provide for themselves? And it's also culturally acceptable that, you know, you may be doing really well and you may be a tech guy, you may be a welder, and your neighbor does really well, but that's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And, but nobody looks down upon each other.
And there's no stigmas attached
exactly.
to the more manual, physical labor type jobs.
Exactly. Yeah. And many of the people who are high-level corporate white-collar jobs now used to be the guys that had, you know, really grungy jobs back mm-hmm. in the day. And they attribute their work ethic, their success at the higher levels to those days of being getting their hands dirty.
Yep. Yeah, but you got to know how the job works if you're going to manage it effectively. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And on that Swiss side of too, the challenge here is, you know, they are, so the way you would do it is you go through your K-8 and then you apply to work at a company in a certain field. And there are 230 professions to be able to choose from. Or you can go on a smaller track that's more of a baccalaureate program that would take you that route if you wanted to be a college professor in history or something okay. like that. And again, you have that freedom. You have the freedom to pick the companies you want to work for. You have the freedom to pick the professions. It's not Germany where you're just on certain tracks. And the companies are only going to bring on as many apprentices as they foresee hiring, a number of people that they will be hiring in 3 years. So these businesses are looking to basically train a workforce, help these kids along. They're going to pay them the entire time these kids are being trained. I mean, they're getting paid $1,000, $1,200 a month. So imagine going through high school. That all the time you're going through high school, you get paid $1,000 a month, and you're working at a cool company, doing a job you love, and then you're also, of course, incorporating in your grammar and your reading and math and things like that. Pretty cool setup. I mean,
yeah.
But it's a totally different way of looking at things.
I can't even imagine, like, just the peace of mind if I could send either of my sons through a program like that. You know what I mean? Just being able to sit back and go, and then also, From the home perspective, being able to say, look, this is the path that you're on. If you follow these steps, right, and do the work required of you, You know, to be able to sort of singularly focus and show them there is a goal that you can reach here, and right. It's a great one. This is what you have to do to get there. I mean, from a parent perspective, to be able to have the ability to set them on a path like that and to teach them the qualities necessary to send them on their way. I mean, that would be amazing. The way you could compare to what we're doing now, it's like, woo, we're just kind of throwing them out there.
Well, I mean,
go to school and find something you like to do.
Having a career discussion with your kid who's a sixth grader or a sixth grader is really hard. I mean, you're like, so what do you think you want to do with your life? Okay, so I've got to do middle school, high school, and right. 4 years of college.
Right. Yeah.
He has no clue what he wants to do. He doesn't know what the real world looks like.
I want to finish the latest Mario game.
Versus in 2 years, you need to apply for a job. How's that going to look? You know, and this job's going to be training you. It's going to pay you. But do you think, what do you want to do? You want to get your hands dirty? Do you want to do more of the electrician? Do you want to do welding? Do you want to do accounting? What would you like?
Yep. I saw a huge difference in my son when he went out and got a job.
Yeah.
When he actually went out and got a job, started working, started earning some money, and it was his money that he earned that he could do whatever he wanted with. It's like there was an absolute shift in, not entire personality, but he just became a lot more focused, and he seemed a lot less listless.
Yep.
You know, there was more energy and purpose there. 651-989-5855. Let's go to Jeff in Minnetonka. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Things that when they shut down all the for-profit technical colleges is one of their main problems that they had with for-profit technical colleges is there's no indoctrination.
Yeah. And I mean, it just indoctrination into how to go and build things.
Yeah.
And you know,
and actually,
proper construction.
Well, yeah,
my comment earlier about how I feel like unions play a big part in this. We talked about it a little bit during a break. You know, one of the biggest issues of this past legislative session was a provision in a bill that would have allowed local school districts to bring in people who don't necessarily have the teaching certificates to come in and teach classes under their degree, under their expertise. Right, you want to teach a wood shop class. You bring in somebody who's really good in woodworking. Maybe doesn't have that teaching certificate. The union's freaked out.
Oh yeah,
they want to have complete control over everybody that steps foot in a classroom.
Well, and it's a twisted way of control too, in the sense that so Dunwoody College, which does great work here, as far as I mean, you want to get a good job, go to Dunwoody, and you're going to get you're going to be like the auto mechanic making $80,000 a year. But Dunwoody actually created a charter school in North Minneapolis area. Mm-hmm. It was used to be a feeder to be able to take these kids from tough backgrounds, put them into a charter school so that they got good math skills, good writing skills, all of that. But if they felt intimidated by a four-year college, whatever, they could then go hop into a tech college that they were primed and ready for and be able to do it. The whole thing got shut down because, you know, it was competition. It was a new model of doing things, and we just couldn't let that happen.
Got to break up that education union. Got to break up that public teachers union. If we're ever going to get any real reform, they are the biggest roadblock.
Devin Foley, Intellectual Takeout. People can find you.
Intellectualtakeout.org. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Find us on the web. Sign up for our emails. We also have Christina Hoff Summers coming up on October 30th and Guthrie Theater, and she'll be talking about Is There a War Against Men?
Okay.
So should be a nice hot topic. So
all right.
I got a lightsaber at home. I'm good.
You're good?
I might have to borrow one. I know you've got more than one.
I know. I do. I got two. The batteries are full.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, guys.
We always enjoy the conversation.
Didn't get a chance to get to the Boston school that canceled Halloween to celebrate Black and Orange Spirit Day, but maybe next time.
That's absurd. That's my final comment. You can quote me.
All right, coming up, downtown Minneapolis businesses make late push to swing city council races, according to a fundraising email. We'll get back to more of your phone calls coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice